This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now enjoy today's message with Ted Cunningham.
I'm going to share with you what do we do when life is just too much to bear? When life is overwhelming, when the weight that we're carrying could use a little help. We could invite someone in to help us carry the burden. And I've been getting thank you cards from our speakers. And I'll tell you, David Nasser said this about Woodland Hills when he left. Like the Sunday afternoon, he texted me from the airport and he said, "You have a very dangerous church." And I've never heard that before. I said, "What makes Woodland Hills dangerous?" He says, "The people are so responsive that I never knew where they were really going with the message. And so I don't know who made you that way, but good job, Woodland Hills. I'm glad you're that way." This one, it doesn't matter who it's from. His name's Renee. He said this. He said, "It is always such a blessing to be at Woodland Hills. You inspire us with beautiful, effective ministry developed there. I love the atmosphere of love. It permeates everything at your church. I wish we could be members there." And I told him, we have a starting point class. You're more than welcome to attend. He does pastor in California. If you want to become a member, we do have an extra class from people from California. It's one little extra screening process. It's real short, but we got to get some things figured. I'm just kidding. If you're new to our church, don't walk out because it will get worse than that right there. So anyway, thank you for how you guys are so hospitable to our speakers. And Hamaya, you know, loves you guys. And we've talked about this, that the culture of any church is shaped by the way we treat each other, but not just the way we treat each other in good times. Like, it's how do we treat each other when times are tough and life is chaotic? Right? Jesus said, there's no reward in loving easy to love people. Right? That's easy. The work that it takes for us is how do we love one another when we're not always easy to get along with? And when times are tough. And I had the opportunity this week to MC an event for the American Association of Christian Counselors, which meant I sat through 18 hours of clinical lectures. And so it was a lot, but I learned a lot. I'm going to just give you some of the titles that I sat through. Mitigating Imposter Syndrome. I felt like such a fake after that one. Interpersonal Neurotheology. And some of you are like, sign me up. But then, I listened to When Helping Others Hurts You. The Emotionally Destructive Marriage. That was a good one. And then we started talking about human flourishing. And we looked at all of the weights that people are carrying. The heaviness. Now, I want to go through a list. And for some of you, maybe one or two have been weighing you down. For some, your list may be quite a few of these. We're going to start with what I would just call global burdens that you and I are carrying. It's not something we did or caused, but the knowledge and the information that we have, it becomes a weight to us, and it's a burden that we've been carrying. So let's just start with that list of burdens. COVID, shutdowns, the epidemic of loneliness we've been talking about the last few years, racial tension, rioting, looting, crime on the rise, election chaos. Who watched the presidential debate? No comments, just raise your hand. I watched it. I looked at Amy like, what are we watching? Right? Impeachment trials, wars that weigh on us, war in Ukraine and in Israel. Some of you shared this with me in the last couple of weeks. The pastors and churches around the country that are falling to sexual sin, criminal behavior, toxic leadership, leaders and influencers you've followed for a long time who did a lot to shape your walk with Christ, and now stories come out. It's just a burden that you're carrying. Let's bring it closer to home. Add to that list, some of you are dealing with family conflict, a prodigal child, someone who's walked away from the faith and you don't know what to say, what to do to bring them back. Some of you are fighting for your marriage, married to someone who's not, and you're in a marriage crisis. Dealing with addiction in your family. Some of you, a sudden death in the family. We've had this hit our church in the last few weeks. Just a sudden death. And yes, you have to mourn and go through the grief cycle, but at the same time, it's like, how do we go on? This was so sudden and unexpected. Now we have the burden of figuring out next steps for providing for this family. Some of you, it's illness, it's cancer, and everything about your life changed when you got that diagnosis, and now you have this burden to carry. So that brings it closer to home, but still a lot of that is brought on you, not decisions you made. But now let's talk about the burdens that you carry that are a result of your direct action. Some of you are dealing with a heavy burden right now because of a bad decision. You entered into a business deal or maybe a business partnership. You committed to a job. You were in it a day and you're like, uh-oh, I didn't ask enough questions on this side of it during the interview. You just made bad decisions. Some of you are in trouble right now because of an unguarded tongue. Like you opened your mouth at the wrong time and now you're trying to figure out, what do I do? How do I go about reconciling that relationship? For some of you, it's slothfulness. It's laziness. It's like you're wondering why you have no money in your bank account, and it's because of a decision that you've made or lack thereof. Some of you have unmet expectations because your expectations were too high on someone. And they didn't even know what the expectation was, but they never met it, and you're carrying that weight. Some of you are overcommitted in every area of your life. You're carrying too much, and you want other people to help you, but it's like at some point you got to stop committing to things because you only have so much capacity. We can go on and on and on. How do we cope? Solomon talks about this in Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes 2, he lays out, we just described a lot of the troubles of life, the pain that hits us, the grind of life, and the burdens that you and I carry. When you get to chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, and I'm going to sum it up, I always sum it up this way, we try to cope with the list we just read. We try to cope by eating too much, drinking too much, spending too much, scrolling too much, talking too much. We've just become a too much culture. And it's all a way of coping. And one of the things that hit me this week, because whenever I hear like new words, I always get like, we're going in a direction we don't need to go. And whenever I heard the term human flourishing, I'm like, oh, let's hear it. But the more I heard it, the more I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And this is what Jesus describes as the abundant life. That yes, I have eternal life in Christ, but he also came that I can experience abundant life now. Abundant life in him. And one of the questions, I know if you ever see a family melting down in public, or you see a child out of control, or maybe you're with a teenager who's like running their mouth, or a coworker running their mouth, and we ask the question, what's wrong with them? That's not a super helpful question. Right? Because you can let your mind wonder. You know what a better question is? What happened to them? Let's get into the list. Like, what happened? And then when they start sharing the story and it starts to make sense the way they're acting, we can then ask the question, how can I help? What happened and how can I help? So this human flourishing idea, I was like, but then I started thinking of John 10:10. The thief, Satan, he comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And his ways lead to destruction. Your ways lead to destruction and death. But Jesus has come that you can have life. And not just life everlasting, but life to the full right now. Abundant life now. I have come, he says, that they may have life, yes, and have it to the full. That abundant life. There's a tradition in academia called the last lecture. I learned about it a few years back by a guy named Randy Pausch. He wrote a book on it. Maybe you saw a short clip of his last lecture. He was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, a professor, and he had a longer talk but did a shorter version years ago on Oprah. And hypothetically speaking, right, if you knew you were going to die this week and you're a professor, and you had one more lecture to give to your students, what would you share with them? Like, what do you want your last words, last lecture to be to your students? When I first heard this years ago, I started outlining a series called The Last Sermon. And I was going to assign to each member of the teaching team, I want you to preach a sermon like it's the last sermon you're ever going to preach. And the more I outlined it, I honestly, I chuckled a little bit, realizing I preach every sermon pretty much like that. I don't have a lot of unspoken words or feelings in my messages. You probably have figured that out. What I'm thinking and feeling, I tend to share. This is a great way to live if you don't live this way. Like, if I die today, my family won't be left guessing what I think or feel about them. They'll know right down to my last words. Right? You'll never have to go, I wonder where Ted really was in life. You know. But it brings me to this great text in John 13. If you are looking for a study this week, read John 13, 14, 15, 16. And it starts out in verse 1 of John 13. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. So he is going to share. He is going to give words. He's going to instruct. He's going to comfort. He's going to prepare his disciples. Hey, guess what? The world hated me. They're going to hate you too. I'm preparing a place for you. And you're going to come and be with me. Not yet. But you will come to be with me. I will come. The Holy Spirit is going to guide you. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Take that verse with you as you read. What are the last words going to be? Like, what is this message, this strong message of encouragement, of comfort, but also preparation? And we say it all the time around here. The way Christians are treated should never shock us. Like, we shouldn't be hated by the world and be like, I can't believe you're saying and doing that. Jesus prepared his disciples and he prepares us for this. And here's what we read in John chapter 13, 34 and 35. A few verses down, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, guys, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And today, Christians are too known for our opinions, when we should be known before our opinions for our love for one another. The world, watching world, should look in and go, what is different about them? This caring for one another, this bearing one another's burdens, this loving each other, this forgiving each other, this isn't how the world operates. Why do they operate like this? It says Jesus instructs them and guides them. I got to verse 12 of chapter 16. And this hit me because Jesus knew the capacity in that moment and at that time of his disciples. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. And he just shared a lot with them when you read those chapters I just shared with you. When you go through those chapters, he shared a lot. What's he said? The Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to guide you. You're going to be writing this stuff down. People will be reading this and he's going to guide you in what to say and what to do. Be prepared. But Jesus knew the capacity. And here's what I sum all that up when I read through those chapters. It's simply this. God's strategy when life is too much to bear, his strategy for you and his strategy for me is one another. To bear with one another. When life is too much to bear, that is when we bear with one another. So we're going to go to Galatians chapter 6, and here's the main point that we're going to develop today. To love one another, as Jesus has called us to do, you must care for yourself and others. The reason I'm okay with the term human flourishing, because, I mean, you can read it. Jesus makes human flourishing possible. He makes the abundant life possible. Emotional health, physical health, intellectual health, occupational, relational, financial. Some of you are struggling in some of these areas right now. Some of you are broke. You know why? Because every time you ask for financial advice, you go to your broke friends. Stop asking the guy with $42 in his checking account what you should do with your life. And that, I know Dave Ramsey says that all the time. But I just, one another, this is part of God's plan. I wrote this down as I was listening this week to all these talks. I just wrote down, it is always good for you, Ted, speaking to myself, to hang around others who are smarter than you, who are stronger than you, who are wealthier than you. And it's not because I'm going to them and asking for money. It's because I want to know. Tell me about, and it's real simple. You got to find someone who's got a few bucks. Here's what they're going to tell you. This is profound. Spend less than you make. Okay, there you go. I gave it to you. You don't even have to find a wealthier friend. But this is what it means. And I drive by a church every day that has on the sign, the imperfect church for imperfect people. I get the sentiment. But we will never be a church that celebrates brokenness. We celebrate Jesus. And I've been a part of churches where they get so excited about broken people showing up. And we do too. If you're bearing something right now, if your weight is so heavy, it's too much for you, we're glad you're here, but we love you so much. We don't want you to stay that way. We don't want to be celebrating that 10 years from now. 10 years from now, we want to know, oh, this person found a vibrant, abundant life in Christ, is walking with Jesus, knows the Word of God, is growing in this, and they're healthier today than they were 10 years ago when they walked in. We don't want to leave people where we find them. We want to come alongside and help one another. And this is why for some of you, your relationships aren't working. The church you came from wasn't working. This church won't work for you if all you're here is for someone to help you. We want you to get healthy in every area of life so that you can be a people helper, helping those around you. In Galatians chapter 6, this is a favorite passage of counselors, therapists, coaches. Paul writes this, carry each other's burdens. Now the idea here is, you know, Amy gets home from the grocery store, car's full of groceries, and, you know, young husbands ask the question, do you need any help? That's the young, dumb husband brain. The older, wiser, 28 years married husband brain just starts walking to the back of the car. Because if I were to ask now, do you need help? The answer is yes. And that's when I yell, Carson, you know, come. No, but what do? I go to the back of the car, and I did it last night when we got home from our trip. I go, just go inside, be with the dogs. I'll get the bags. And then I open it, and the first question every man asks is, how many trips is this going to take? And there's only one answer to that. One. I ain't coming back out to this car again. I'll spend 30 minutes on that one trip rather than 10 minutes on five trips. You know what I'm talking about? That's my young, dumb husband brain kicking in again. But I'll grab, listen, you've done it. You start lining the groceries up to the elbow, and you know how many you can fit, and you're walking in the house. Like, that's a pretty heavy burden right there. And my son will come up to me, do you need any help? No, I got it. And immediately, because listen, I can do that for a minute or two. I should have done this today as a prop. I should have had somebody stand up here and hold groceries for 30 minutes. You couldn't do it. Right? Even when something's light, I mean, just holding those groceries forever. But when Carson comes in and takes a few of them, it helps lighten the load. But guess what? I still have something to carry. This is the key. So we carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you fulfill what we just read in John 13. And the love your neighbor, right? This way you fulfill the law of Christ, to love one another. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one of you should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. The church works best when you stop comparing what God's called you to do with what he's called someone else to do. Works best when you stop comparing how he's gifted you to serve with how he's gifted someone else to serve. Run in your gifts, run in your lane, and cheer on the runners in the other lanes. Because it says, for each one should carry their own load. And this is the key right here. As followers of Jesus, you are called to be responsible for your load, and at the exact same time, be carrying the burdens of others. But there's some of you who can't do that because your load is so heavy from the list that we shared earlier. So before you ask for help, let's look at some questions that you can ask before you ask for help. What caused this heavy weight? Right? Start there. Is it something that that's happening in another land that I'm thinking about it too much. I can't do anything about it. Amy and I, we have this conversation all the time as we drive through construction zones. You've heard me say this. And Amy would be like, what are they doing right here? I wasn't involved in any of the meetings on this project. I don't know what we're doing right here. But now I'm going to have to look it up, and I'm going to have to go to an alderman meeting. I'm going to have to do something to figure out what's going on. Listen, does somebody need to be in charge of the roads in Branson? This isn't a political debate I'm having with you right now. The answer is yes. Yeah, do you have an opinion about the roads in Branson? Do you like sharing your opinion on the roads in Branson? And I know there's a forum for that. But there's people responsible for that. And I tell Amy, I have so much going on in my brain right now. I can't give this road here another thought. I'm not going to think about it again. And then I go home and lose sleep over 248. Because she put it in my head, you should fix this. Ah, all right. So here's our plan for 248. No, I don't have it. What's caused this heavy weight? Bad decisions, your mouth, laziness, overcommitment? Can you name it? Because after that, ask this question. Because that you have to start there. That, now you're almost self-diagnosing. Is this something I can carry on my own? And a lot of times it's yes. Had somebody recently ask me to help them confront a family member. Not my family member, their family member. I don't even know this family member. And they said, will you help me confront this family member? And I thought about it for a second, and I said, no. And then I said, the only reason I'm not going to help you is because I got enough going on in my own family. And I can't set a boundary for you and then communicate that boundary, then make sure that boundary is honored. Like, you have to get good at this. So here's how I can help you carry your burden, though. I can share with you some boundaries that you can share with a family member. I can come alongside and help, maybe coach you in this. But ultimately, it's something you have to carry. I can't take this away from you. So if you answer that with a yes, don't go to this next question. If you answer that with a no, then ask this third question. Who should I reach out to for help? But too many of you, when life is overwhelming and you are weighed down with burdens, this is the first question you ask. Who should I go to for help? When it's not the first question that we ask. So here's the bottom line. There is a weight you need to carry. And you must do your part and not unduly burden or overwhelm other Christians. It happens all the time when people show up to a church. They want something and have zero plan to give something. They want help, but there's nothing in their plan to actually be a helper. This is why this week one of the things I sat through a whole hour and a half on was compassion fatigue. The doctors and nurses in this room are trained well in compassion fatigue. When you have to give so much and help so many other people, and so often that you stop taking care of yourself. I hear it from my friends in the medical field all the time. I don't exercise. I'm not eating right. It's like the things that I need to do to stay healthy, they say, I can't do it because, and this was especially true in 20 and 21. That's why Gary Smalley, my mentor and one of the first elders of our church, he would tell me all the time when we were starting this church, and I quote, don't let a crisis in someone else's life create one in yours. You can help people. Gary was great at it, and he's a great coach for me on this. He said, if somebody calls you at 9 o'clock at night saying our marriage is blowing up, we need you over here immediately, you tell them, I'll meet you in the morning at 8. And I'm like, well, what if that answer's not good enough? Ask them how long they've been married. Okay, well, how long have y'all been married? 18 years. Okay, what do I do with that next? And Gary goes, then you tell them, you've had 18 years creating this problem. Another 12 hours ain't going to hurt anything. But I want to help. But I'm not going to create a crisis at home to jump in the car and to go help you. So just settle down, separate if you need to get healthy. And there are those in here, when you expect others to help carry your burden, you're always wanting people to help you, but you refuse to carry your load. We've hit that point. But then you rarely help others carry their burdens. And not only that, if you're not carrying your load, not carrying the burdens of others, you may be the type that you walk by two people carrying a burden together and you'd like to heap it on, creating even more of a load. We had something happened in May. Amy and I were just kept looking at each other. I don't know what was going on, but we had just great customer service experience after great customer service experience in Branson. I mean, it was just, we look at each other like, what is going on? That was amazing. The way the people, I mean, waiters and waitresses and people in stores just over the top. And you know, I've talked about this quite a bit. I call it grand opening enthusiasm, where they just got out of training, first week on the job, and woo, here we go. And I always go right up to them on grand opening. I'm like, keep this enthusiasm. I want to see this in 5 years. See this in 10 years. Because anybody can start. It's the finishing. and it's the sustaining. But we just had overwhelming good customer experiences. And I told Amy, the reason you go into a store or a restaurant and you see someone who, you know, has been working there for 20 years, just beat down and tired. My father-in-law was a greeter at Walmart for 10 years here in Branson. Oh, I told him he needs to write a book. Don't use real names. A few real names, but not a bunch of real names. I mean, he's got stories of people treating him terrible. How do you help people when they're treating you so poorly? Right? How do you walk alongside someone who not only isn't going to help themselves, but they get mad at you for the way that you're helping them? We call this transactional relationships. And many of you, you're in this right now. A transactional relationship. You help them, but they never help you. When your phone rings, I mean, and you know it, the person that phone rings and you're like, ugh. If you are ghosted all the time when you call someone or text someone, you might be in a transactional relationship because they just don't want to answer because they know you're going to need something. They know you're going to want something. And this person never calls you offering to help or checking up on you. I'm starting to get this with all of our golf courses in the area. I get pastor buddies from all over the country calling me. And I'll be like, hey, what's going on? Hey, Ted, who do we know at Payne's Valley? I'm like, well, obviously, you know no one. But I know people, and I can't call them every day. So get your $1,900 out and go have a good time. Right? But you get it. But then there's this. They help you, but you never help them. And the relationship just turns into this weird, this is really just more of a colleague and we're in business. So let's take a quick four-question quiz. It's quick four, say that four times real fast. No, don't. In the first service, all the charismatic. Quick four-question quiz. Okay, just settle down. Number one, how often do you ask people for favors? How often do you need something from them? Number two, how many people did you help this week? Can you put names with it? Like you reached out to them. You saw them in need. And it was just instinctual for you to just jump in and do something to help. Number three, when is the last time you called a friend just to catch up? Just to find out how they're doing. Just to check in on them. Number four, would you say you give more to others than you expect from them? I had a fifth question, but I changed it. I just deleted it. I didn't think it was appropriate, but here we go. It's not in the notes, but it's in these notes. And it just simply says, have you ever complained about free coffee at Woodland Hills? If so, you might be in a transactional relationship. This is important, and these questions are important to ask yourself right now. And it's why we have Sweet Spot set up out there. I meet people all the time at our church that, I mean, you've been here for years and years and years and years, and you're still checking us out. I think you have figured us out by now. I don't think there are going to be any big surprises. You've been attending, but membership hasn't been something that's been important to you or joining and finding. We need more people helpers. He was in the first gathering, and you maybe met him back here. A lot of you on this side, I know you meet him almost every week. Al is 80 years old. We love Al, all right? Al is 80 and old and withered and tired. And first gathering, he's like, amen. He came to know the Lord at 39 years old and has been serving the Lord ever since. And you see him. He's always coming down this aisle with his flashlight. And if he puts a flashlight in your face, move in. That's what he's saying. But I'm going to tell you something. Al will be the one serving you dinner at Starting Point. He's all over there. Everywhere you go, you see 80-year-old Al. Be nice to him because he determines if you get chicken and brisket or chicken or brisket. You know what I'm talking about. We've all experienced seasons in life when everyone and everything is overwhelming. You're overloaded at work. You're overloaded at home. And then you come to church. This is not what we want, by the way. You come to church, and we pile it on. We pile it on. One of my mentors, Dr. Ron Hawkins, was the provost at Liberty University. And I got to spend a week with him this week. And he's always smiling. He's 82 years old, always smiling. And I said, Dr. Hawkins, why are you always smiling? And he took me back to a day when he was a preacher in a small, independent, fundamental, premillennial, King James Version, Only Baptist Church at age 30. And he said, Ted, I was hellfire and brimstone. Man, I just tore it up. And Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, he said, it didn't matter. I was just, and I was pounded into people. He goes, a new family visited our church on a Sunday night, and they were walking out. Their six-year-old daughter looked up at me with this concerned face and just looked at me and said, why are you so angry? And he said, it changed everything about my preaching that day. He goes, I can take you back to that moment when I decide, and this is so true. Some of you, as we talk about burdens today, you have come to this church and 6, 7, 8, 9 items from the list I shared at the beginning are on your list right now. Heavy, heavy burdens. When we do the prayer team or when we do counseling and people are sharing what sin has done in their life, we don't sit there and listen to that and be like, well, you deserve what you got coming. Of course you're in this spot. You're a mess. Why do you, you know, that's piling it on. Instead, we say, guess what we can tell you. Here's who we want to introduce you to, the great burden lifter, the one who took all of your sins upon the cross, died for you so that you can walk in freedom, as we learned about in Galatians chapter 4, that you can walk free in Christ. We don't need to be a church that piles it on. We need a church and to have a culture as a church where all we're doing, it's not just stopping by a booth with yellow balloons. You're helping people through the big issues of life. You're walking alongside people and helping them. We're never going to just load it back on you. To love one another means we don't pile it on when someone is overwhelmed, but rather we help out. We need for you to be healthy in this abundant life, physically, emotionally, relationally, financially, so you can carry another's burden. And I'll say it again. I said it about me, and I'm going to say it about you. It is always good for you to hang around others who are stronger, smarter, wealthier. I had a friend this week say this. You are not good enough to do life alone. Can't. And I'd put it this way. You're not strong enough to go through life alone. I know some of you are like, I grew up with a dad who just said, no tears, no emotion, just get it done. I get that. But you're going to get to a point in life. You've already probably been there. You've experienced it. Where it was just too much for you to carry alone. That's why we need each other. And all God's people said. Amen. So whether you're a guest, I met a couple back there. A couple back there celebrating 40 years of marriage. Would you wave at me? From Galveston, Texas. I met him in the back. Welcome to Branson. Somebody go meet them afterwards and ask them, who do we know at the Clay Cooper Theater? No, don't ask. Maybe somebody will go up and, I'm not going to say it'll happen, but maybe you'll get free tickets somewhere celebrating 40th. Hey, let's pray. Father, I'm grateful for this church. I'm grateful for what you have done here over the years and ask that you continue to work through each one of us. That we would walk alongside one another. So we pray for one another as we assist one another and help each other, whether it be through a ministry here on campus or through a phone call later in the week just to check on someone and to care for them and to pray with them. And even in reconciling, we all are going to have differences of opinions in so many areas that are hitting us today. May we find the joy that we have in you in the relationships that we share with others. And may we be a bearing with one another church family. May that be true of us. We're grateful for this week. I'm grateful to live in this place, in this land where we have this freedom. And let us never take for granted going out on a boat, enjoying a barbecue, spending time with family and friends. And we are grateful. We're grateful for the sacrifice of those who gave their lives, who sacrificed so much for the freedom that we are celebrating this week. We pray all this in the authority of the name of Jesus. And everyone agreed and said, amen.